Good evening, everybody, and happy Tu B'Shvat. We are approaching Parshas B'Shalach. This evening, we want to learn the halachic sugya of whether or not it is permissible for someone to receive payment for teaching Torah. We'll try to learn a little bit about Tu B'Shvat, and this shir has not been sponsored by anyone in light of the fact that it might be us to pay me, for the shir, right? So. Oh, very good. So we'll learn about doctors. We'll learn about Adam. We're going to learn that Adam's just as guilty as I am.
He got paid for learning.
Yeah, so we'll learn about Adam. We'll learn about me. But yes, by profession, I get paid by only institutions that are Jewish institutions for the Torah education. So we'll see what that's about. And we'll start with the parsha, learn a little bit about the man. The reason I thought to speak about this topic this week is because in Parshas B'Shalach, we are introduced to the man, which is related very much to Parnassa, and the concept of balancing one's bitachon and Hashem, and trusting that Hashem will always help them, with the fact that we do need to try to make a Parnassa, and it's a tricky balance by human nature. So here we go. Parshas B'Shalach Tezayin Dalet, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Hinei Mamtzi Lachem Lechem Min Hashemayim. Hashem says, I'm going to bring down this heavenly bread. V'yotzeam V'lakdu Dvaryom B'Yomo. Each day they'll take this thing. Why? L'ma'an Anasenu. The whole thing is a test. Hayelech b'torasi imlo. Will they follow my Torah or not? Now, Rashi says, what's the test if they were going to, quote-unquote, follow my Torah? Rashi, interestingly, says, will they keep the mitzvahs related to the month? Namely, you're not allowed to leave over for the next day, and you're also not allowed to go searching for any month on Shabbos. So according to Rashi, what was the whole test? Will Bnei Yisrael follow the rules of the man? Beautiful. However, the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban quotes Rashi and says, "V'einu nachum." What would be a more logical thing to say? Now, what's the test? The man is a test, not short term. Will you follow the rules of the man? But says the Ramban, the whole idea, if you find the Sefer Devarim, was that the man was there to train us to change our entire perspective on life. You try living for 40 years without any food in a refrigerator. No bags packed with extra snacks. Do you know how scary that must have been? To not know when your next meal was coming? They didn't even know what the man was until it came down. And every day they would wait for it. Vimkol zeh. They didn't travel on a path that would have been close to food. I mean, what could Klal Yisrael have done? You could travel from Egypt to Israel near civilizations. They could have went, says the Ramban, near cities. And it would have been a lot less scary because, you know, worse comes to worse. There's a 7-Eleven nearby. There's a Dunkin' Donuts nearby, whatever. But no, says the Ramban, V'holicham b'midbar, Nachash, Saraf, V'akrav. We were led in a very lonely desert. V'shalo yelem lechem, rach min ha-shamayim dvar yom b'yomo. We were trained to just realize our food comes from Hashem. L'nasota m'lehetiv lem b'achrona, she'aminu bo. Here's the key word, le'olam. Forevermore, we would understand that our food comes from Shamayim. If there was a 7-Eleven nearby, we would have mistakenly thought, okay, listen, as long as I make enough money to afford my 7-Eleven, okay. Now, by the way, not every 7-Eleven is kosher. Don't quote me on this, right? Meaning, obviously, you have to know what to get at 7-Eleven. But assuming there, you get the idea that the Ramban is saying beautifully that 40 years of emunah training forevermore, and the man was a long-term test, will we learn to trust in Hashem? And that's the whole idea. The Mechilta in this week's Parsha as well, Mechilta of Ishmael, says that there were 40 years with man. You know why? Because if we would have been taken straight into Eretz Yisrael in a straight route, straight from Egypt to Israel, says the Midrash, Hashem was afraid. If we went straight into Israel, everyone would immediately take their field and take their vineyard. Then betelim min haTorah. If we went straight into Israel, you would have thought, oh no, I need to make a parnasa, I need a plant, I need to grow my food. Ella, therefore, says Hashem, Akifem b'midbar arbim shana. What am I going to do, says Hashem? I'm going to take them in a roundabout route. So therefore, Ochlin man v'shosin meha be'er v'atorah nivleles begufan. A beautiful, beautiful midrash. Let me train them long term to learn how to live on the man, on the be'er Miriam. And I love that line. The Torah will be absorbed into them. Says Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, lo nitna ha-Torah lidrosh ela l'ochle haman. Right, next week's Parsha Yisro, we actually get the Torah at Har Sinai. This is the introduction to Maimon Har Sinai. The man is the first step of Maimon Har Sinai, because you're not going to learn the Torah if you don't have the man. If you don't have the man, if you don't have, namely, the bitachon, that Hashem gives you parnas, you're always going to convince yourself that there's more work to do. I need to put in more hours to make more money to afford more food. And the man teaches you wrong, not true. A little bit more bitachon, maybe a little bit less ishtadlus. Now, obviously, you have to, you know, put in your ishtadlus. You know, obviously, again, you know, we haven't said anything halachic yet. But ultimately, it's a beautiful, beautiful lesson of Hashem Bar Yochai, the Ramban, this week's Parsha, to grow in our emunah. And it's not just Chazal, the Torah itself. Later on in the Parsha, Moshe tells Aaron, take a little jar of man and leave it there, l'mishmeres l'doros eichem. Who's that for? Who's that for? To put on display for future generations, the man was going to be shown to whom? So the Midrash has a few answers, but the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer is that it's going to be used in the generation of Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Because Yirmiyahu HaNavi is going to ask the Jews, why are you not learning the Torah? Amrulo b'manis parnes, what we need to make a living. And you know what he does? Yirmiyahu HaNavi takes out the man, the very same man that Moshe gave Aaron, told Aaron to save. And he said, Avotechem she'oskin b'Torah. Your forefathers in the desert, they were learning Torah. B'manit parnesu. How did they make parnasa? They were given the man. Af atem. Im ta'asku b'Torah. If you learn the Torah, you know what's going to happen? HaKadosh Baruch Hu yefarneseichem mizeh. Hashem will give you the parnasa that you need. Whoa. Now, obviously, the midrashim here are not to be taken 100% literally. There's a very litvish question you can ask. Rabbi, it's not a good comparison. In the desert, they literally didn't have jobs. They just received the man. There was no alternative. In Eretz Yisrael, the Jews were actually afraid. If they did not go to work, they would not have enough money. But the idea is that we needed one extreme, concentrated 40 years to teach us that in subsequent generations, you always have what to learn from the Dor HaMidbar. And in the same way that they knew their parnasa came from Hashem, so too, we have to realize that our parnasa comes from Hashem. And it's not a simple thing. We always get confused about this one. And the Shulchan Aruch actually rules. It's a halacha, and the Shulchan Aruch, the first halacha that we'll learn this evening, is Tov Lamar, Parshas Ha'akedu, Parshas Haman. Every day, says the Shulchan Aruch, it's good. It doesn't say you have to. I would imagine almost everybody here does not. But does anyone say the Akedu every day or Parshas Haman every day? Right? I don't know. It's a hard, because, you know, while we're on the way to work, right? It's a little bit, right? So, you know, it's like we're on the way rushing out to work. So who has time to ask Hashem for help, right? Yeah, no, we say Barech Alein. We say, you know, to be fair, you know, obviously we know that our pronunciation comes from Hashem. But the Mishnah Brura in Siman Aleph of Shulchan Aruch, Sifkat and Yud Gimel, says we say the Parshas Haman in order to believe Shekol Mizon Osav Bain Bashkacha Pratis. Because how much man did you get? No matter how much you took, you always got the same. If you took X or Y or, you know, X plus or Y plus, it all came out the same. Hashem is telling you, it's not about how much you put in, it's about how much I give you. In the same way that we got the same amount of man, regardless of our taking, so too our parnas is the same way. Hashem decides on Rosh Hashanah how much we get, etc. Your ishtadlus doesn't do a thing. Hashem will give you what you deserve. And the Yushami and Brachos is quoted here. Everyone quotes this Yushami. If you say the Parshas Haman, you are guaranteed, you are promised from Hashem that you will have a good parnasa. Now, famously, the Rebbe Mirimnov, if I'm not mistaken, says that the Tuesday before Parshas Peshalach every year, there's a skula, they say the Parshas Haman. So even if you don't say the Parshas Haman every single day, but the Tuesday before Parshas Peshalach, there's a unique skula for that. Now, there's a little bit of a machlokas how to do that. You have to do it. Should I make a vechatargum, whatever. But if you forgot to do it yesterday, you could just wait another year until the next Tuesday for Baruch Shalach. I apologize. So really, I guess you're all done. I don't want to belittle the segula because it's really quoted in real places. Everyone really knows that segula. You know, there's nothing kind of like more insulting when a lot of your friends email you that email address. Like, that, you know, by the way, if, you know, there's a school today for Parnassa, you know. It's like all your big shot lawyer friends like email their friend who's like the Rebbe, and I think they do me a favor, and I'm like, I don't need your school as big shot lawyer, okay? I'll be just fine without your email, you know. So it's always one of those like backhanded compliments, you know, like, no, I was just trying to send you an email, but thanks a lot, you know, whatever. Hey, Peter, I wasn't talking about you. Again, Peter, I'm fine. Peter was like looking at me like, are you okay? Peter, I was just joking. I didn't get any of those emails this year. All right, anyway. So this is a beautiful message, and it's a timely message. We should always remember that our shtadlus comes from Hashem, and I also believe that's really what Tu B'Shvat is all about. You know, when we daven for Parnassa and Shemoneh Esrei, it's all related to agriculture. We don't just daven for money. We daven for money in the context of Baruch Aleinu et Hashana Hazos, for saying Talu Matar. It's all about rain. You know, when you do your job, you always have to realize that you're partnering with Hashem. Whether you work for NASA or you work in a farm in Israel, you're supposed to really remember that you're partnering with the Ribono Shel Olam. And our success is only due to Hashem's Siyata D'Shmaya. And perhaps the job that is most easy to remember that is agriculture. You know, when you have farms in Israel where you put the seed in the ground, but you know that it's up to Hashem's rain, whether or not it's going to be a good season. You know, and it's really amazing to see how many farms have been taken over by volunteers. Just yesterday I was watching a video in the Times of Israel, where the kibbutz down south, where there were a lot of cows, there was a big dairy farm, and unfortunately cows were killed, and their sheds were burned, or whatever, and if you don't milk a cow, the cow could likely get an infection and very likely die. So a lot of volunteers just came there to milk cows. And originally they were just milking the cows to save the cows, and then eventually they started saving the milk. And so many Americans are going to Israel winter break to, like, you know, pick eggs off the ground and, you know, take ripe fruit off the trees. And it's a little sad, a lot of the farmers who were either killed or taken captive, the fruit that they planted is now ripe, and people are picking them, you know. It's an amazing reality that, you know, Tu B'Shvat reminds us about trees and fruits, and we obviously correlate, associate the produce with Hashem. You know, that's where the fruit comes from. But in the same way that we could see an apple and realize it comes from Hashem, so too our paycheck comes from Hashem. And Tu B'Shvat reminds us the source of all bracha is Ribono Shel Olam, that is the parsha of the month. Okay, so what if your source of income is absolutely forbidden? What if you are, a drug dealer or a Rebbe? Or a Rebbe, apparently they might be equally shady. So there is a Gemara Maseches Bechoros, a Mishnah, that says, Hanotel Schar Ladun, if you take any reward to judge a case or to be a witness in Beis Din, etc., you know, to use things, let's say, in the part of Duma water, whatever, basically, no good. He might have actually disqualified the part of Duma water. And the Gemara says in Sefer Devarim, this is the source from the Rabbi Yehuda Marav, Reili Manti Eschem Ma'ani Bechinam Afatem Bechinam. So Hashem taught the Torah to Moshe and did not charge. And Moshe taught the Torah to Bnei Yisrael and did not charge. And therefore, you know what we have to do? Also continue to teach the Torah, and we are not allowed to charge. Boom. That's the whole idea. What does Moshe mean? That I taught you Torah like Hashem taught me. Ma'ani bechinam, af atem bechinam. Hashem didn't charge, so too Moshe didn't charge. Wow. So I'm not allowed to charge you for teaching you Torah. Now, what if you want to learn Torah and you can't find someone to teach you Torah unless you pay them? Okay. So there's a pasuk in Mishnah that says MS kana. I mean, you should purchase MS, but you're going to develop a bad habit, you know, because what happens if you have, the only way for you to learn Torah is to pay for it. So what happens when you get older? You're going to also want to charge. Nope. Says the Gemara, even if you had to pay for it, doesn't mean you're allowed to charge for it. Wow. No. MS Kanev Al Timkor. If you have to buy it, but you can't sell it. Yikes. So if we were to stop here, a pretty clear issue, I'm not allowed to charge Torah. I'm not allowed to charge money for making Torah. So obviously, it's not the minhag. Every TABC Rebbe and every Rebbe in history has been paid, right? You know, like everyone, right? Right? Like Moshe Feinstein got paid for what? Being Rosh Yeshiva, for being, right? For Soloveitchik. You know, like, think of one rabbi who didn't get a paycheck, right? You know, how could this be? But parenthetically, in YU, they always took this very seriously. It was interesting that they took the graduate Reed Smicha program very seriously. They didn't charge for many, many, many years. The original kind of development of REITs was based on this premise that we don't make kids charge. We don't charge our students for smicha. Like the Torah is free. And that was one of Rabbi Lamb's big things. And Rav Schechter always gets a little choked up when he says apparently there was like a meeting and maybe there were some very high ranking, like, you know, Catholic priests in a room with Rabbi Lamb and Rav Schechter, and they said, what's like the secret to your success? And Rabbi Lamb Zatzal said, we don't charge. We don't charge anybody. You know, and Rav Schechter, he gets a little bit emotional when he says over that story. But we were in YU when they started believing not to charge. And it was like a whole hack at the time. And I remember I was paying for my Israeli graduate degree. All of my friends were going to graduate school. You know, they were paying for their graduate degree. So I'm like, what was the big deal? Like, everyone, it was a big, like, deal. They were going to start charging, like, some for something. And it was a big hack in the YU campus. I remember thinking, like, what's the big deal? Like, of course they should charge us. Like, it's a graduate program. We're going to get a REITs degree. It's like a big deal. Of course they should charge us. And everyone said, no, 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 you don't understand. Like, the whole original concept of REITs was dafka not to charge. I'm like, oh, well, I guess that's different. But again, in the end, there was some charge for something, whatever. But again, I only have positive things to say about REITs. And again, I personally wasn't bothered at all. I was a little naive and young at the time and, you know, whatever. But ultimately, remember, that was like a big discussion when they maybe started charging for one thing, not the other. But I trust the people running REITs, the Hanhal over there. It's all good. Either way, there's another Gemara in the Dharma. That's like probably the more often quoted Gemara. There's a Gemara in Bechoros and a Gemara in the Dharma that really serve as the main Mekoros for the Sugya, in addition to the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. So the Mishnah over there says, Malamdo Midrash. Whoa. So let's say you take a neder not to get Hana'ah from me. So I'm not allowed to give you Hana'ah, pleasure, benefit. I'm still allowed to teach you what? I'm only allowed to teach you things that I can charge you for. So I can teach you Gemara, Midrash, Halachas, Agados, but I can't teach you Psukim. I can't teach you Psukim. You know why? Because I'm not allowed to charge you for that. So if you're not allowed to benefit from me, so if you have to pay for it, that's not called benefit. So the Gemara explains that there's a difference between Tanakh or Psukim versus Torah Sheba'al Peh. Wow, so ask the Gemara, what do you mean? What's the difference? What's the difference? It should all be included in the same prohibition, no? But even Psukim, should all be the same. Mikronami Bechinim. So, you know what? The Gemara says like this. Rav says, Schar Shimur. Schar Shimur. I'm allowed to charge you for watching you. Rabbi Yochanan says, Schar Pisuk to Amim. I'm not allowed to charge you for the Torah, but I'm not allowed to charge you for teaching you the trap. Cantillation notes. If I'm a bar mitzvah teacher, that's okay. Or if I'm a little school children teacher, like kid, like, you know, like kind of like, we'll say, what am I, babysitting? Schar Shimur, or Rabbi Yochanan says, to teach you the trap. Wow. Now there's a third Gemara, that's Yerushalmi, Schar Batala. That's going to be a major, major source. That, you know what Schar Batala is? If I wasn't teaching you, I could be making money doing something else. So, because I'm not going off to get a law degree or a medical degree, so that's called Schar Batala. You should pay me for the fact that I'm not making money a different way. I'm being Mevatel, I'm nullifying, whatever. It's like I'm giving up an opportunity, so you should pay me for that. Unbelievable. So, these are the basic three principles in Shas. Either you can get paid for the babysitting element, for teaching the trup. So again, the Torah wanted to make a discrepancy, maybe Torah Sheba'al Peh. You could charge, but not Torah Shebichsav. And all right, but maybe again the trup is different or the babysitting or what we call Schar Batala. Now parenthetically, I wanted to also teach you Gemara in the Dharm. It says, even though Moshe didn't charge for teaching Torah, Moshe was very wealthy. Why was Moshe very wealthy? Why did Hashem give Moshe the leftover stones, the special like sapphire stones from the Luchos? So I should be wealthy. I wanted to specifically put this in parentheses. This should not be at all a contradiction. Moshe wasn't paid for the teaching, but doesn't mean you're not allowed to tip the Rebbe some sapphire stones. But I wanted to make this very clear. So although I put it in parentheses, I probably bold it and put an extra font. Okay, all right, yeah, good shtick. All right, anyway. So what's another Mishnah Pirkei Avos that you know you're not allowed to do? You're not allowed to use the Torah to make profit. Ooh, Rabbi Tzadok Omer, Al Tesa Atarlis Gadol Ben. You're not allowed to use the Torah to become all famous. v'lo kardum lachpor behem. And what happens if you use the Torah as a crown? You chalaf, something bad happens to you. Halamadar kol anana b'divrei Torah, if you get benefit from your Torah, notel chayiv min ha'olam. You basically get killed. Whoa. So at this point, who could justify Mandelstam's paycheck? Am I getting benefit from Torah like the Mishnah Berurah says I'm not allowed to do? Am I chayiv misa so far? Am I getting benefit? Not only am I getting benefit, did anyone here get honored at the TBC dinner this year? So not only did I get a paycheck, I became all famous this year, right? I made a video. So, you know, if you look at Pirush Rashi and this Mishnah Berurah, it's like not like Mandelstam, right? That's really Rashi's commentary on this Mishnah Berurah. I'm up a creek over here. This is tough. So who could come up with a svara? Scharbatala. Now my TBC Talmidim would be on their phones if I was out in the room. They would not be killing each other. Maybe they'd be playing Fortnite and shooting each other digitally, but they would not be killing each other physically. So that's not really Schar Shimur. And we could come back to that. I do have a svara to say there's still Schar Shimur, even though I'm not a kindergarten teacher or elementary school teacher. But this is going to be a problem because until when does Schar Shimur apply? Not so clear, right? So number one, the Bartanura points out that you know why you're not allowed to benefit from the Torah? Because then you're watering down the Kedusha of the Torah. If you realize that the Torah is so holy, you wouldn't want to benefit from it. Shosakin mo'el b'kdushasa. You're using something holy for a non-sacred use. You want to get a job. You want to be a painter. So you make money for painting. To use the Torah to make money? Chas v'shalom. How can you use something so holy like the Torah as a means to get money? It's disrespectful to the Torah. Wow. Beautiful Bartanura. Other Rishonim say very similar things like Rabbeinu Yonah. If you look at the commentators, the commentaries on Pirkei Avos over there, you'll see a lot of this type of tone. But the Bartanura says that Rabbeinu Yonah, the Rambam has a lengthy shot over there. And not only that, the Gemara in the Dharmas is a very telling story that Rabbi Tarfon actually once kind of name-dropped himself, that someone was going to hurt him, and then he basically said, I'm Rabbi Tarfon. And the person said, oh my gosh, I didn't realize who you were, you're a big tzaddik, whatever. And Rabbi Tarfon was worried the rest of his life. He said, because I used my high stature, my high Torah status, to kind of get out of a problem, I benefited from my Torah. I benefited from my Torah. And the Gemara says, why was Rabbi Tarfon so afraid of it? He was doing nothing wrong. And you know what the Gemara says? Rabbi Tarfon was actually wealthy. He didn't need to use his Torah to circumvent issues. So he could have gotten around it with money. He was in a pickle, but he could have gotten out of it with his money. So Rabbi Tarfon was upset at himself that he used his Torah status to get out of an issue over there. Someone was going to hurt him because there was a robber stealing his stuff all year. He thought it was Rabbi Tarfon. And he said, what are you doing to Rabbi Tarfon? And he's like, oh my gosh, you're Rabbi Tarfon, oh my gosh. And when he heard Rabbi Tarfon, when he let Rabbi Tarfon off the hook, Rabbi Tarfon said, I used my crown of Torah to benefit. The rest of his life, he was sad about that. Unbelievable story in the Gemara Maseches, the Dharma Samach Beis. So the Gemara here made a distinction between a rabbi who's already wealthy versus not. So imagine if I was independently wealthy. Imagine if I came from a family, you know, last name was, whatever, pick your, Rothschild, whatever, it was a pick your philanthropist in history, whatever. And I told JBC, listen, I'm really already, a multi-millionaire. I'll work for free. Would I have to do that, halachically? Because maybe you're only allowed to make money to teach Torah if you need it. What if you don't need it? What if you don't need it? Right? Rabbi Tarfon was upset at himself because he was already wealthy. So now we'll learn how the halacha kind of paskins. We'll learn a little on this from Rav Schechter. I'll try to kind of come away with a bottom line, okay? So here we go. Number one, before we let Adam off the hook, Rav Schechter has an essay in his Sefer Ginat Egos, where in Simen Memtes, in the section Choshen Mishpat, he deals all about this. And it's not just benefiting from Torah. Many Rishonim will say it's about benefiting from all mitzvahs. So it's like Hashavas Aveda. So why do I have to heal you if you're sick? Shabbos Aveda, I need to restore your soul to you. I need to restore your health to you. So says the Shulchan Aruch, HaRofe, a doctor, Asur li tol schar hachachma v'limud. If I teach you how to take care of yourself, or seemingly if I teach a doctor in graduate school or whatever, like medical school, Asur. Wow. So Adam is just as guilty as me, right? Meaning you're not allowed to get paid for healing. Usher. Wow, says the Shach over there. David is gufo, he, and the Torah says, Hashemo so low. Okay, all right. Adam's funny, yeah, there's a little bit, I have to make fun of Adam a little bit more. Now, it should be noted, Fox News says that Adam was a highly religious man. Now, I emailed Fox News shortly after that story. I said, no, he's not. He gets paid. It's ridiculous. You know, and the Fox News said, we have to look at the end of the Shulchan Aruch. Aval schara torach v'batala mutar. He is allowed to get paid for the toil and the batala. So the batala means, well, Adam just as easily could have made money doing something different. So therefore, whatever, you pay him because we need him in the medical office. Because we want Adam to wear his scrubs, so that's a reason to pay him. Wow. Unbelievable idea. So, but the first point was that if you teach doctors or you teach patients how to treat themselves, that's usher to get paid for that. But we already got around it right away in the Shulchan Aruch, that it would be okay. Okay. Now, Shulchan Aruch, Yoridei Areish Memhei Vav. What if the minhag in the city was that the Malamei Tinokos does get paid? So you have a problem. You want to teach your son Torah. So do you have to pay for it? Well, if the minhag is to pay for it, like, you know, you pay for yeshiva, so chayv lelamdo b'schar, but remember, what do we say? Maybe there's a difference between Torah shebichsav and Torah shebaalpeh. So fine. Chayv lelamdo b'schar. So you have to do what? You have to pay ad sheikra Torah shebichsav. Ooh, all right. So again, we said, all right, maybe Torah shebichsav, you pay for it. Ve'eino chayv lelamdo b'schar mishna u'gemara. But maybe Torah Shebaalpeh, that's unique. Torah Shebaalpeh, we said that, you know what, maybe that's a little different. That there, apparently, there is a higher obligation to teach Torah Shebaalpeh for free. Wow. Torah Shebaalpeh for free. So sorry, again, I said it backwards before when I did the Gemara Nedarim. But ultimately, when it comes to Torah Shebaalpeh, that's free. Wait a minute. Wait. So when did this apply? What if I really, what? If it's delo efshar, what does that mean? That it's a really extenuating circumstance. So I don't have to teach him through money, but what if I can afford it, rather, right? Meaning, if I really can't afford it, so you can stop at Torah Shebichsav, right? By the way, this is very practical nowadays, like, there's a tuition crisis, right? So, let's say someone says, listen, I'll send it to yeshiva, and so my kid knows Tanakh, you know, whatever, I'll send it till fifth grade, whatever, but, you know, or fourth grade. But, you know, I don't need my kid to learn Mishnah Gemara. But if you can afford it, Mitzvah La'agmur Mishnah Gemara, Halachat Vagodas, wow. So at a minimum, pay for your kids on Torah Shebichsav. And if you can afford it, Torah Shebaalpeh. Wow. Based on the minhag. So that Shulchan Aruch initially said based on the minhag, which is going to come back again. So the Shulchan Aruch again, Reish Mem Vav. One simon later. This is in your idea where the Shulchan Aruch deals with the halachas of Talmud Torah. So if the minhag is to teach Torah Shebichsav through money, mutter, I can charge you for Tanakh. Torah Shebaalpeh, asur. I can't charge you to learn Mishnah or Gemara. But what if you want your son to learn Mishnah Gemara, if you want to learn Mishnah Gemara, but no one is free? Everyone charges. So then you pay for it. Whoa. But don't do the following. Don't say, well, just like I had to pay for the Torah Shebaalpeh, so too, what am I going to do when I get a little older? I'm going to charge for it also. No. You can't do that. It's for Shana the Gemara. Right? So it should be a short-term issue. But long-term, no one should have to pay or no one should charge for Torah Shebaalpeh. But that's not what we do. Oh, gosh. So says the Shulchan Aruch, but nowadays we pay. You know why? Because schar batala. Shemaniach kol asaku umaso umatanu shari. The idea is that, listen, you want the Rebbe to teach. He could have been a businessman, but you know what? You want the Rebbe to teach. So what are you basically paying the Rebbe for? You're not paying the Rebbe for the Torah. What are you paying him for? To be the Rebbe. Because you're paying him not to be an accountant. You're not paying him to be a Rebbe. You're paying him not to be an accountant. Now, the Ramah makes a chiluk between, well, the Rabbanans you could teach. You could take reward for teaching the Rabbanans. I mean, we just said you're not allowed to really take reward money for teaching Torah Shabbat Peh. But Torah Shabbat Peh on a Durabanan to teach Hilchas Chanukah is a Din Durabanan. So that would be mutter. Rav Soloveitchik did not think this Ramah made any sense. You know why? Hilchas Chanukah is a Din Durabanan. Purim is a Din Durabanan. Chanukah is a Din Durabanan. But learning about Chanukah is a mitzvah on a Torah level. Learning about mitzvahs midurabanan is no less Talmud Torah than learning about tefillah and mitzvah midaraisa. When you learn about Beis Hillel, that's Torah. What about when you learn about Beis Shammai? We're not passing like Beis Shammai. It's no less Torah. Rav Soloveitchik, or Shefter quotes in the Gittin Egos, points out that there's no such thing as a hierarchy in Talmud Torah regarding the value, meaning learning about a mitzvah midurabanan is Talmud Torah on a daraisa level. So Rav Soloveitchik respectfully totally disagreed with that line of the Ramah. So you can't really make a distinction between teaching about the Rabbanans versus teaching the Arises. Okay. The major, major, major source, though, in this sugya is the Ramah. Until now, the Shulchan Aruch got us around the issue because of what we call Schar Batala. So when you pay me to be a rabbi, you're paying me not to be an accountant. Good, beautiful. Love it. But we still said in Pirkei Avos, you're not supposed to do this. You're not supposed to use the Torah as a means to an end. If you really respected the Torah, you wouldn't use Torah as a means to a paycheck, would you? And guess what? That's not only a Mishnah Pirkei Avos, that's a Siman Shulchan Aruch. Ein divrei Torah miskayim misha marape atzmalem. You know how you're going to become a Talmid Chacham? Not if you use it. Says the Ramah, don't think that you're going to learn Torah and get honored at a dinner. Don't think it's going to work that way. No way, Mandelstam. You know why? It's a big honor to have a job. Not through Torah. You know what would be even more honorable? Learn Torah and be a plumber. Learn Torah and be a painter. What are you using your Torah to be? Right? Can't. So the Ramah over here says, the first answer, well, this is only talking about people who are physically healthy to both learn and get a job. What if you're older or ill and you can't? Answer number one. Avalzaken ochola mutter lehanos mitoraso. Then you could use your Torah as a means to get money. If you're sick, if you need to. Now here, heter after heter. The Ramah then says, What if you're healthy? Some would say, it's okay. This is the Tashbits. The Rashbits. They say it's okay, even if you're healthy. The minhag in every city was you have a paid rabbi. Right? Who pays the rabbi? The people. Kidei shelo yitzarech lasok b'malacha. What would happen if the rabbi wasn't paid? What would happen to the Torah? The Torah would disappear. Thank God for the rabbi. You know what? When you pay the rabbi a full-time job, he actually has time to learn and prepare a shurim. It's a big deal. That's how Torah quality goes up when you pay rabbis to learn. They actually have the time to delve into the material. It's an amazing thing. So, we need them. We need the rabbi to get paid for this. Wow. But then the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah says, but if he's already wealthy, no way. Only if he needs the money. Then there's another answer. Say, okay. A chacham can get money if he gets gifts. He gets gifts. Because you know what happens? If he gets gifts, he'll have more ease learning. But ideally, he still should have a side job. Ideally. Wow. Meaning, but who could do that? Who could be a full-time rabbi and a full-time job? Like, you know, Rabbi Stephen Przanski was uniquely very brilliant, right? He was a full-time rabbi and like a full-time lawyer, right? I grew up in Queens. There was the young Israel of Hillcrest. The main rabbi, Rabbi Weiss, was a lawyer and a rabbi, right? It's pretty rare to have the ability to be that, right? It's not usually the case, especially nowadays. Shuls like their rabbis on call. What? That's what I said, right? Yeah, okay. Okay, he's a doctor. And I grew up in Jamaica State. I grew up close enough to Hillcrest. So nowadays, communities like their rabbi is kind of like on call, you know, whatever, shiva, funerals, whatever. It's a little bit different now. But the whole idea over here is that basically the Ramah comes up with heter after heter that you need the rabbi, and it's okay. The shach over there, he goes into town over there and he says it's okay. Because number one, the minhag has become to allow this. And if the halacha was less than clear, but the minhag has established, so even if it's against the Rambam, but it's like the Tashbates, and the Tashbates has a lot of proofs. that go through Shas, where, you know, Kohen Gadol may be charged to teach how to do the proper Shechita, and all, you know, all these different proofs in Shas about how people did charge for certain things. So ultimately, the Shach is the one who comes out and says, Ra'inu, we see Kol Kach Meisol, Kol Mizman Rabbeinu B'Achrav, No Hagin Litol Schar Metziv, I think it's one of the Bach here. That everyone, every rabbi in history basically took a paycheck. So, and again, he goes along the same line. Because what would happen if he didn't take the paycheck? If he didn't take the paycheck, he wouldn't be able to learn Torah. And what would happen to the Torah? Mishtacheches Chas V'Shalom. The Torah would be lost, heaven forbid. Heaven forbid. Wow. Wow. So, any quotes and more opinions. And Rav Moshe Feinstein, as a tshuva, it's more famous for the concept of learning in Kolel, where Rav Moshe there justifies getting paid a Kolel stipend. But in that very same tshuva, he's also talking about rabbis getting paid to be a Rebbe, a Rosh Kolel, a Rosh Yeshiva, a Rebbe. So he says it's certainly mutter, because again, whether you want to say it's halachically mutter because of the Tashmetz reasons, or you just say, listen, we need it, otherwise the Torah will be lost, it's mutter, it's the minug, whatever you want to call it. And he says, I also think that people who say, I need to get a job because of the Rambam and I don't want to make a living based on my Torah. He says that's the Eitzah of the Eitzah Hara. That's the Atzah of Eitzah Hara. Your Eitzah Hara is tricking you not to learn more, not to, you know, spend time in Kol. No. It's the Eitzah Hara. You should get paid. Take the stipend and take your paycheck. So again, this is certainly the Minug. Now, I wanted to ask a little question. Now, Rav Shechter in the Ginas Egos has a fascinating discussion. Because what if I take off? What am I getting paid for? Right? He points out that I'm in TABC essentially not getting paid for my shimur, right? I'm not a kindergarten teacher. Schar batala, getting paid for schar batala. Schar batala means they want me not to be an accountant. What if I'm sick and I'm not working? So is it in my contract that I get sick days? Yeah. How many sick days? Right? So Rav Shechter is just pointing out that it's a little ironic that the contracts for Rebbeim are still very, very, very professional, like any other profession. So he just points out what the community is basically doing there is that the board or whoever is deciding that, yeah, we need our Rebbeim so much so that we're even willing to give them vacation days, pension plans, you know, and all that other stuff. You know, so, I mean, the point is that it's all included in Schar Batala. But you know, did I say I had one particular unique question? Or what about tutoring? What about tutoring, right? So you want to say, listen, we need Mandelstam, at least Rabbi Rafi Mandelstam at TABC, otherwise he'd be an accountant. But what if someone needs me to tutor their kid? Can I charge for that or no? Is there schar batal on that? Oh, instead of charging X amount per hour, tutoring, I could be making X amount per hour, being a waiter.
Why is tutoring different than any other?
Very good. So I thought, you know, I don't think anyone's going to be machmer in this shaila. One time I asked someone, the minhag is certainly to charge. That is certainly the minhag. And Peter is saying, just like the Rebbe gets a paycheck, so do the Rebbe who tutors gets a paycheck. And Lamdus, what would be the justification? Schar batala, meaning they'd rather me be available to tutor him in Torah, lest I'm not available because I'm busy being an accountant or whatever, right? So, you know, seemingly it's the same thought process.
One-on-one.
Right. So again, my little, you know, 2 cents on the sugya is that it's so clear that when I get paid, it's so not only about the Torah content, right? Even in my contract, you know, it probably says something along the lines of, I can forget all of the other requirements of, like, you know, proctoring and, you know, all that other stuff that teachers have to do from time to time in the meetings and the whatever professional development stuff. But they want me to get closer to the kids, right? Meaning they want the lifelong relationships, right? That's not Torah, right? I'm not getting paid only for the Mishnayos and the Gemara that I'm teaching. The parents want me to be a role model. The parents want me to be close with their kid to set them up for life. It's a very different, you know, headset. And seemingly, dare I say, that it's almost like, you know, the priority or just as important as the Torah content itself. That's what parents really are invested in. The long term is that they'll say, I don't need a tutor, meaning I want a Rebbe. It's a very different thing. So seemingly that would also be a major tzad la hakel in my humble opinion. But one Rebbe told me that when he teaches chassan classes, he doesn't charge. And he hopes that people kind of get the memo and pay him as a gift. So sometimes he gets it, sometimes he doesn't. It's like, you know, a little bit of a roulette. So I do that sometimes. You know, I won't say anything explicitly. Sometimes I get the envelope, and sometimes I don't get the envelope. It's all good. Right. Well, I wasn't going to make any more jokes this evening about that, but let's just say Moshe Rabbeinu was given the leftover stones, you know, of the Luchos. So let's not forget that important Gemara. But again, at a minimum, let's not forget that we always partner with Hashem in every job we have, like Tu B'Shavuot reminds us, and not take our doctors for granted and our Torah educators for granted. And what the halacha is beautifully saying is that our community is loudly saying we want our educators. We don't want them to be an accountant. We don't want them to be an accountant. Maybe we have a minion on here. Maybe I have one story. Maybe I have one personal story. I once spoke in the YU cafeteria on Shabbos. And, you know, whenever I spoke, and Rav Yitzchak Cohen was there. And he liked the way I presented my Torah. And he came running up to me right after I spoke on Shabbos in the YU cafeteria. And he said, "You are going into chinuch." He said, "Don't use that charisma to become a lawyer." Right? So that's what he was saying to me. He was saying, "Listen, you can maybe make more money as a lawyer. Don't you dare." So I was already planning going to chinuch anyway. But that story highlights the whole idea of schar batala, meaning if you have the abilities, if Hashem gave you the abilities to be in chinuch, we want the community wants you to use those gifts. So we should all be zochet to support our educators. Okay, have a wonderful evening.